Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is where we turn to in our Bibles first this morning. Romans chapter 10. Following which we will turn to our main text and the text for the sermon found in Ephesians chapter 6. Romans chapter 10, reading the first 18 verses of this chapter. This is God's inspired word. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Thus far we read from Romans chapter 10. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And moving on to the next piece of armor set forth in verse 15. This will be the final piece for the time being that we'll be considering, given the timing of all things. My plan is to continue with the other pieces of the armor of God in connection with the Lord's Supper, preached either as a preparatory or applicatory sermon. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 15. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Then the text for the sermon this morning, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thus far we read from God's holy inspired word. May he bless the reading of his word. Consider with me, beloved congregation, this morning right away the text under this theme, the Christian soldier's shoes. First of all, let's understand what our feet and shoes are. Secondly, let's recognize their importance. And thirdly, we conclude with putting on these shoes. Feet and shoes. What are they? What do they represent? Let's deal first with the feet and recall together with me that the Roman soldier's body and his entire armor all together are being dealt with as a figure to explain the Christian soldier's invisible, precious, and spiritual armor provided by God. Let's review ever so briefly what we have seen so far. Now, leading to the feet in verse 15, there are, first of all, the loins. The loins and the girdle of truth spoken of in verse 14, the first half of that verse. The loins of the human body are the lower part of our body, wherein are our hips and our lower abdomen and other parts. So when, therefore, Scripture speaks about the covering that the loins receive through the girdle of truth, it is using the loins to represent the deep spiritual convictions that we all must have. The deep spiritual convictions of the Christian soldier that's tied intimately to that girdle of truth. The strong Christian is the one who wears his belt tightly, who has a deep spiritual conviction of God's truths. We and our children, are you listening? We and our children need to grow with deeper conviction of God's truths ever and always. The truths of God are proclaimed to us. The truths of God are taught you, children, at catechism instruction in the Christian school. They are given to you, ministered to you, but the Holy Spirit needs to apply and apply more and more that word so that that word penetrates and sinks into your heart, your mind, your soul, your entire spirit, so that you rely so entirely upon it, embrace it, and live in utmost confidence out of it, embracing all of God's word. The doctrines, the encouragements, the chastenings, the warnings, also the rebukes. That's the loins and the girdle of truth. And then in the second half of verse 14, there's the heart and the vital organs within the upper torso of the human body, representing our spiritual heart, our deep, vital inner organs. Some there's the bowels, by our King James Version, protected by the breastplate, that upper piece of the armor that wraps us all around from neck to waist, all around. The breastplate of righteousness for the Christian soldier, the perfect righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. As we saw last Sunday evening, first of all, imputed righteousness, which is outside of us and justifies us and assures us that we are the children of the living God, but also imparted or infused righteousness worked inside of us by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and sanctifies us. That's the girdle of truth, and that's the breastplate of righteousness. So now moving on to the text this morning proper, what do our feet, the feet of the Christian soldier, represent? Well, certainly our feet cause us to stand in battle. That's one important purpose of the feet, to stand in battle. But our text in verse 15 directs our attention to this, the movement and the mobility that our feet gives to us in battle. Notice, beloved, the words of the text, shod with the preparation, note that, preparation of, indicating therefore that the feet is the part of the human body that gives preparedness and readiness for the Christian soldier to move in battle and to move to a different place of service wherever and whenever needed and dispatched by the Lord. And the scriptures capture that idea of ready feet in a most striking way in Romans chapter 10. That's why Romans 10 was picked for us for scripture reading this morning. It is rather striking, beloved, that scripture praises of all the parts of the human body of the gospel preacher, his feet. Listen again to verses 13 through 15 of Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet, the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Why? Why does the feet of the gospel preacher receive particular praise from God? Why not the mind? The mind is needed to work through the text and the meaning of the text and all the relationships and interconnections of the text with all the other parts of Scripture. The mind, why not the mind? And why not the heart? The heart which needs to meditate and contemplate and take that meaning of that word and apply that to himself so that he can feed the flock. Why not the heart? Or again, why not the lips and the mouth which proclaim and declare the gospel of peace? Why not these parts of the body? Why the feet? Well, beloved, praise is given to the preacher's feet because of this. The preparedness and readiness of the gospel preacher to go. To go far. To leave his comfort zone, to go very, very far even, to do the work of the Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. And from his point of view as a gospel preacher, it's to bring the gospel, to bring the gospel to God's people, to establish congregation and also to the mission field, to be prepared to do that away from his hometown and homeland, to go to another town, to go to another place, to go even to another country, far, far away from his home and comfort zone. And also this, to bring his wife and children along with him. See, beloved, the whole point of Romans 10, verses 13 through 15 is that God is pleased to use weak human means, weak human preachers who are clearly sinners, weak human means to do what? To build his kingdom, to call his sheep unto himself, wherever these sheep might be, even unto the remotest ends of the earth. The feet are praised because the gospel preacher's feet is willing and ready and prepared to go far, very far away to bring that gospel to the people of God, wherever he is dispatched, so that the salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago might be applied to them in their heart, their mind, their soul, and might be enjoyed by them and might strengthen them. For you see, verses 17 and 18 of Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. That's how far the gospel preacher is willing and ready to travel. And that's the gospel preacher and his feet. But only here, beloved, what Romans chapter 10 applies to the feet of the gospel preacher, Ephesians 6 verse 15 broadens out its application to not the gospel preacher himself, but to other soldiers of the army of Jesus Christ. The Christian, the believer. That's right, you, and that includes you too, children. You are Christian soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. The Christian soldier needs to be ready and prepared spiritually in his heart of hearts, just like the gospel preacher, to do the work of the Lord that God has called him to in any and every place of service, in any and every area of need. In the home, first of all, with regard to the nurturing of young children, parents, I trust you are doing that, aren't you? Fathers, you are surely giving godly leadership to your home and family, aren't you? And mothers, you're faithful keepers of the home, aren't you? You're busy doing these things. At home, in the home, but also at work and at school, children, you are learning. You are soaking in the God of Word and its very teachings applied also to life in school and also as you are taught in the home, aren't you? At work, you men are busy also serving the Lord in that perspective and that area of life, aren't you? Also in the church. Where are we ready and prepared spiritually always to play our part in the life and service of the church, in whatever role that the Lord calls us, is pleased to call us to serve in. In the committee work and committees, in the consistory, also tied closely to us, to the church would be the school board and the school that we support. And here at worship service, the organ, the piano, the sound system, the building that needs to be maintained here and the parsonage, in any and every area of service, including this, to give a witness, to be ready always to give a reason of the hope that is in us to those who are outside of us. That's what that Evangelism and Missions Conference is all about. That's also our calling and duty given by our Lord Himself to be witnesses unto Him in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the feet. Now, therefore, we see, don't we, that shoes, good shoes, not just any shoes, good shoes are needed for those spiritual feet of readiness and preparedness. And in the wisdom of the Lord, He has provided us with the best possible shoes. And that, according to our text, is the gospel of peace. More on that later specifically, but let's take the time now to understand how shoes work good for our feet. Now, in the day of the Roman soldier, he wore sandals. That's what this is all about. He wore shoes or sandals, what resembles more closely like sandals to us in our day, which had sandals which had hobnails. Hobnails or spikes embedded to the sole of those sandals or shoes. Those spike-like hobnails served him very well indeed. How so? Three things now here with regard to those shoes, the Roman soldier's shoes. Number one, it gave protection for his feet, much needed protection in the time of battle. Those hobnails protected his feet as he walked on rough terrain, on rocks and stones. And understand, beloved, that in the time of the Roman Empire, it was a common tactic those days in fighting that an army would place sharp sticks that they have dug into the ground to injure the feet of the enemy. And that's where these hobnails of these shoes of the Roman soldier come in especially, to provide protection so that his feet would not be hurt, so that he could stand and fight confidently and move. So number one, protection. Number two, firm grip. Those shoes of the Roman soldier with those hobnails also serve to give him a firm grip on the battlefield. Woe to the soldier who fought without a firm grip on the battlefield. Can you imagine that, children? A soldier slipping and sliding and eventually falling whilst fighting? Those shoes gave the soldier a good firm grip on the battleground that he needed. And being therefore sure-footed, he could stand and fight the enemy. Protection, firm grip, and now number three, readiness to move. Most of all, this is the point that's being emphasized by the text. Readiness to move. The Christian, the soldiers, Roman soldiers' shoes gave him the ability, the preparedness and readiness to move in battle, to move from place to place to place, to move quickly. Those sandals were light, and to move effectively. These light and well-designed sandals or shoes with their hobnails allowed the soldier to move quickly to all kinds of terrain. And that was important. It was important for the Roman soldier, not only on the battlefield itself, where he would be fighting the enemy, where he could now easily dodge the blow and sword of the enemy with these like sandals or shoes, but also this, with those light sandals or shoes be able to move quickly into the battlefield, to move so quickly that the enemy cannot anticipate your arrival in time. So that the Roman army was able very effectively to surprise the enemy by moving quickly from one place to another. That was a battle strategy that was used much in the time of the Roman Empire and still also today in modern combat, to surprise the enemy with swift movement. And so now we understand what feet and shoes are all about. So we're now in a position to understand their importance, the importance of those shoes, the spiritual shoes of the Christian soldier to his spiritual feet. That is, to his readiness, to his preparedness to fight the good fight of faith, wherever and whenever the Lord deploys him to. So, beloved, recognize with me then these three important things about what our spiritual shoes do for us. Number one, first, let's recognize that our shoes give us protection. Protection for our feet. Our enemy Satan likes to put sharp sticks on the battleground of faith, the battleground of this life here on earth, to hurt us, to discourage us. Satan likes to use especially the sad, even sometimes tragic events that happen in our personal lives and in the life of the church and denomination we belong to, sad things to discourage us. And we don't have to think too hard about the sad events that have come our way as a church belonging to this denomination, do we? There's the schism of our churches, with its ongoing effects still upon us today and still for a time. There's the great lack of ministers for our churches, so many vacant churches, and teachers for our Christian schools. And then, of course, there's the very serious matter of abuse still being transacted, at least a part of the issue being transacted in our ecclesiastical courts, and the effects of these things still affecting members of our churches who are victims, and others outside, other victims who have left our churches, who have given up on us. Well, beloved, if we have good spiritual shoes, we are given protection for our feet, so that these sad events, sad as they might be, might not bring us down to the extent of causing our spiritual morale to sag and sag permanently, and we lose our readiness and preparedness to move to a different place of battle and to meet a different need in the army of Jesus Christ. So, protection first of all, and then number two, the firm grip. These shoes give us a firm grip so that we stand and not fall in the midst of battle. If we are unsure about an area of our lives in the midst of raging battle, Satan is going to take full advantage of that, and we will stumble and fall. So, doctrinally, we can't say, I don't know, and I don't care about a certain doctrine taught out of the Scriptures, a doctrine faithfully preached and proclaimed and taught in our churches, a doctrine long been confessed by us, be it the doctrine of the antithesis, the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross, limited atonement, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, the rejection of common grace and other doctrines. We don't say, and we can't say, I don't care, I don't know about these things. Satan will make us pay a hefty price for that. And practically, we can't say and don't say, I don't know, and I'm not sure, and I don't care about filling a need in the church which we know we can fill as members. And sometimes it's as simple as taking the time in our busy lives to attend a special worship service where equally, like all the other worship services, a call to worship has been extended by your consistory. Or else, serving in the church in an area of need which we know in our heart of hearts that we are in a position to help with, to help fill a need. Or else being committed to using and developing the gifts that God has given to us for the good of others, for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. Beloved, Satan will make us pay a hefty price for being unsure and uncertain for these things. For number three, and most of all, our shoes give us readiness to move. To move to service and battle. Can you imagine what it would be like for a Christian soldier not willing and not ready and not prepared to fight when his captain, the captain of his salvation, calls him unto? There's an intense battle that's going on in the midst of the world. It has been so ever since our first parents fell. And there are needs everywhere in the church and denomination. And yes, there's a very limited number of Christian soldiers. So, beloved, make your presence count. Make your presence count as much as possible, as much as lies in you, for the good of the army that's around you. Woe to us if we are unprepared and not ready to move and to move swiftly to an area of need and battle which the Lord is pleased to dispatch us to. We suffer spiritually ourselves. Our spiritual health suffers. Our spiritual development suffers, but also the entire body. The church is an organism. A body. People of God, have you heard of the armchair Christian? The one who never plays any part at all in the church, except to be highly critical of the church? That one who criticizes the church and picks at her faults and the faults of those who serve? It's very easy to do that. All who are serving are sinners. They're saints, but they're also sinners. Such a Christian folds his arms and says, I'm staying out. And what about the passive Christian who behaves like a passenger on a long-haul 17-hour international flight? Who is on his seat, either sleeping comfortably or eating a meal that's faithfully served. Or else, when he's awake, he's being entertained by that in-flight entertainment system or the games that he has put on his electronic device. who perhaps at best gets up very occasionally from his seat to give sluggish, half-hearted service, that's at best, or at worst is completely glued to his seat for 17 hours throughout his flight. People of God, the Word of God this morning not only calls us to be neither kind of Christian, it also, and on the other hand, calls us to be just the exact opposite, to be sure-footed soldiers, to have ready feet, to be prepared to move and to move quickly into service, willingly, wholeheartedly, zealously, serving Him and serving the body of Christ. And beloved, there are so many places to serve our tour of duty as good soldiers of our Lord. There's always the special offices of the church which every man is to aspire unto. There's also the various committees of the church, the evangelism committee, the activities committee, the ladies' aid committee. Somehow these committees, for whatever reason, have had difficulty to find people to serve in recently. But also other committees, committees which are not there for fun but serve a need. And then this too, this additional thing from Scripture too, the non-official, wonderful Christian care and fellowship exemplified by one called Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus, who of his own initiative did what? Visited Paul while he was in prison. He provided welcome Christian care and fellowship to the lonely apostle when he was locked up, and locked up in no pleasant place but a dark, dingy dungeon all by himself. No one told him to do that, but he took initiative to do that. How the Church of Jesus Christ could use more of this kind of soldier, this kind of spirit that takes the initiative to provide such loving care and fellowship without being told to do so, to fellow members in need. Members who readily welcome and humbly receive and don't reject such wonderful gestures of love. Now, for all of that to happen, for us to be spiritually ready and prepared, to have willing hearts to be used by the Lord wherever He has a need in His church, we need peace. And so we have this piece of armor planned, prepared, and provided for us. And this piece of armor is the gospel of peace. Our spiritual shoes, beloved, are the gospel of peace. The gospel that brings peace. And how we need peace. How we so much need peace in order that we are going to be ready and prepared spiritually to go, to move, and to serve in different areas of need in the context of our Christian life. Little wonder then, God in His Word to us this morning tells us very plainly that His gospel, His good news, His gospel message provides us with peace. The peace which every Christian soldier, which you and I need. Yes, beloved, the gospel of God gives us alone, gives us protection. Yes, the gospel of God alone gives us a good grip upon our lives and the spiritual positions we take on those aspects of our lives. But you see, beloved, the main point and main emphasis of the text is this: spiritual preparedness, spiritual readiness to move unto service and battle as the Lord gives to us as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. How we need peace, beloved. Think of our need for peace this way. Think of the opposite. Think of the opposite of peace, which is fear, confusion, and turmoil within our souls. How can a soldier who has no peace, but who is fearful, who is confused, whose mind and heart is swirling and struggling with thoughts, inmost thoughts about his sins and his weaknesses, be ready and prepared to be dispatched by the Lord unto battle? Peace. You and I need peace. So what is peace? Simply put, peace is this. Peace is an inward spiritual calm. Inward spiritual calm. And let's be sure what it is not. This is not the false inner calm of man, as in the case of Buddhist monks and pious nuns who are meditating and get themselves into a trance, who aren't dealing with the issues of life, dealing with sin properly, but escaping from them all, trying to escape from them that all by what they are doing. Of course not. This is the peace that is from God Himself, who is the God of peace. This is the peace that surpasses all human understanding. The peace that comes to be enjoyed by us when issues and sins of life are not ignored, but dealt with, and dealt with rightly and biblically. That's peace. And the peace of the Christian soldier is a threefold peace. Number one, children still listening? Peace with God. That's where it all begins. Peace with God. It's only in the way of us dealing with sin, dealing daily with our issues of life in a right way, that we have and enjoy peace with God. That, according to the Word of God, comes from us being justified by faith alone, Romans 5, verse 1. Justification, put in a very simple, simple way, is simply forgiveness with God. Peace comes from God, from knowing that God has forgiven us of all our sins, past, present, future, even the sins that are present and evident in us against our will and our sinful natures. We need that. We need to know peace in that most important relationship, that vertical relationship between us and God. Peace in that most important relationship is enjoyed when we are, in our heart of hearts, sorry for our sins. Confess our sins. Kneel at the foot of the cross, and coming away from that cross, experiencing the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Peace with God. Which leads to number two, peace with self. Intimately tied to that is peace with self. See, beloved, it's only in the way of dealing with sin and daily issues of life in the right way that we have peace with God and therefore peace with self. It's to know that we are sinners still, but sinners forgiven by God. But there is also this aspect that when something sad or perhaps even tragic happens to us in our lives, we don't despair. We sorrow, as we must. We're not machines and robots. We sorrow. We cry. We weep. And when with brothers and sisters who have such sorrow, we weep with them. But we don't despair. Why do we not despair? Because we know that the God who loves us, loves us, loves us, who is sovereign, is working all things, including that tragic, sad thing. All things together for good. All things together for good to them who love Him. And then there is peace and contentment in our souls. And that also leads to number three, peace with others, especially with one another in the body of Jesus Christ. How needful it is for there to be peace with one another in the army of soldiers who are imperfect, who are weak, and who nonetheless fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes soldiers get hurt in friendly fire. That happens in earthly terms still to this day. There needs to be forgiveness when there is that aspect too. For beloved, can you imagine a church with her members fully armed, pointing their guns and weapons at themselves? Can you imagine that? Such an army, beloved, is already defeated even before one shot is fired. How we need peace. Peace with one another in the church. Peace with ourself, peace with God. Not the peace of the world, but the precious peace of God in and through Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding, that keeps and guards our hearts and minds through Him who died for us and is risen for us. This peace of God becomes ours when we, by grace and through faith, put on the shoes that God gives to us. And those shoes, of course, are the gospel of peace. Brothers and sisters with me, do you put on these shoes? Do you receive in your heart of hearts? Do you embrace this wondrous gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel is good news. And at heart, that good news is the love of God, proven, displayed, made manifest by God Himself through the cross of his Son. Christ has died for us. For you personally. And for me. Christ has made peace with God and has defeated all his and our enemies through the cross. That's the gospel. And when that gospel is proclaimed to us by the lively preaching on Sundays, when the gospel finds a ready place in our hearts and minds and we're not fighting it, when it is embraced by us on a daily basis and sins and issues of life are being dealt with properly, then do we enjoy much needed peace. Peace! That perfect peace described this manner by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isn't that lovely? When our spiritual feet are shod with such a wonderful gospel of peace, we have protection for our feet. We have good grip on the battleground that we are in. We are sure-footed. We don't stumble and fall. And yes, most of all, we are soldiers who are continually prepared to move. To move when he calls us, when there's a need in this place, a need in that place, to go and to move quickly and readily to fight and to serve there in that area and tour of duty as good Christian soldiers, wherever and whatever that duty might be, ministering to one another within the church or else to those outside of the church, telling others about Jesus and what a difference he makes in our lives. So, beloved, those are your shoes. Put them on. Put on and continue to leave on these shoes of the gospel of peace. And stand in the place and places of battle that Christ is pleased to put you in your personal life, in your family life, in your life, in the church and denomination you belong to. Stand with the shoes that he has provided for you, and in that way, may the peace of God make you prepared, ready, and sure-footed in the midst of battle. Amen. Father in heaven, bless this word and cause it, even as it's been proclaimed, to minister to us the peace that we so need, the peace that we seek from thee each day of our lives. Also this day, hear our prayer, forgive our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.